Okay, lovely. Hi, Claire. I'm delighted to be here with Claire Minchell. We're at Therapy Expo, and we've managed to get hold of Claire for about 10 minutes in her very, very busy schedule. We're really busy today, aren't you, Claire? I just wanted to spend 10 or 15 minutes with you, if that's okay, talking a little bit about osteoarthritis, a little bit of a shared interest that we have, alongside your obvious interest as well in sort of strength and conditioning and exercise prescription, that kind of thing. It's been a real thought process of mine recently, trying to get my head around what kind of exercise might be beneficial for osteoarthritis. I think we're quite au fait with exercise in general being decent, but there doesn't seem in my mind to be any specifics on that any further. So I just wanted to sort of get your take initially on heavy lifting for osteoarthritis and whether that's helpful, useful. Where are your thought processes with that?
Sure. Well, hi. It's nice to see you in person. Great to be on here. So I guess, so is heavy lifting appropriate for OA? I think where I come from is, let's scale it back and look at what we're doing currently. And I think with any patient population, there's that inherent fear of overload, because we're, you know, I guess it comes from the do no harm, and you don't want to make people worse, which I absolutely get, and, you know, there's absolutely no criticism from me on that. But I think what that, alongside historical models of exercise, I think kind of dilutes what we typically give or think about giving to patient populations in terms of what might be slightly more effective than others, or other exercise prescriptions. So if you take an OA knee, do we, in terms of heavy lifting, we know that maximal strength, for example, take any person, the musculoskeletal system, neuromuscular responses, will respond better to heavy lifting for maximal strength than other modes of prescription, right? So if we think that muscular strength is important, then maybe we should start, you know, our thought process from that point. Now, if we go to, I guess, you know, where I suppose where the conflict arises is if we go to the research base and start to evaluate research on strengthening exercise for the benefit of OA, and then are we looking at, you know, what is benefit of OA? Are we looking at improvement in strength? Are we looking at improvement in function? Are we improvement in pain? Those are three separate questions. But historically, that evidence base has lacked specificity in terms of exercise intervention. And indeed, one of the systematic reviews that I did a few years ago reflected that, in that it was pointless doing a meta-analysis because there was such heterogeneity in what were termed strengthening interventions that it was pointless. So some strengthening interventions would be extending, doing a straight leg raise, and some strengthening interventions might be actually doing high load resistance training. Now, you can't pool those things together because there is no way of assuring that the relative intervention are similar, or relative interventions are similar in terms of exercise intensity. So to answer that question, I'm not sure we really know that yet, if heavy lifting is of better benefit than a different type of exercise intervention. But what I try to convey is, let's not knock that, because anecdotally, I'm sure many people listening to this have done heavy lifting with OA patients and seen a tremendous benefit. We have, in our joint approach program, we work people up to a 5-rep max, get there progressively, and that has been of tremendous benefit. So it's not that I'm saying that maximal strength training for all OA patients is going to be far better than doing something that's relatively submaximal, but we need to take what is it that we're trying to achieve and build an exercise prescription to be able to achieve that. And that's the position that I'm coming from. Do we understand and know what we're trying to achieve, and have we set up our prescription to best achieve that?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things I see is that people, their reasoning process for exercise is a physiological change of some kind. So you mentioned strength, you know, are you increasing the tolerance of the articular structures. Mm-hmm. Are you, you know, there's some evidence to say that the cartilage might be a bit, it's not, it doesn't thicken, but it gets a bit more dense if you load it.
Yep.
So people are, that's their reasoning process, and then they're applying a inverted commas load, which probably wouldn't create those processes. Would you agree with that? Is that sort of what you see on social media and those other places?
Yeah, I violently agree with you. In the, yeah, the intention and what you'd like to achieve is, you know, described, but the modality by which you're trying to achieve that is lacking. And whether that's because there's a lack of understanding of how to do it, or whether there's an inherent fear because you don't want to do damage, or indeed pain provocation is something that would prevent you from doing that. And for me, we can solve a lot of those problems with a bit of creative thought. So, you know, closed kinetic chain exercise of a heavy, high intensity can be, you know, provoking for pain. Certainly in that first stage of resistance training, well, let's try open kinetic chain exercise first. Let's try isometric exercise. Let's train at longer muscle lengths isometrically to start to develop a tolerance, and also to improve muscular strength, and indeed through range at longer muscle lengths. And I think there are many ways in which we can approach these problems. And some of the research that's kind of out there that has maybe either shied away from trying heavier loads is because of this. Without the creative thought, or indeed exercise adaptation before load modulation, that's kind of lacking. And indeed those studies, I think, have just got a suspicion of some of those studies that say they've done heavy loading, but symptom limited, but yet that's the extent to which it's stipulated, or the explanation that you've got. Or did they lower the load, or did they adapt the exercise? And for me, those questions are still yet to be answered.
Yeah, for sure. I think from my point of view, in some of the other conditions that I have real interest in, osteoporosis, rheumatoid arthritis, for example, we have seen some higher intensity, not necessarily heavy load. In osteoporosis, there was an Australian study, they lift more, I think it was called, and they didn't really see any adverse outcomes.
Absolutely.
And if you were going to, you'd think it'd be in that population. So I really think we could be really quite brave in some of the research. I was just going to ask you, put you on the spot, if you were to design, let's go with OA knee, if you were to design a program that could be a starting point, what would you've mentioned 5 rep max there, is that where you would try to get people to for a study, do you think?
Sure. Just let me come back to that Lifmore trial.
Yeah.
Thoroughly amazing trial. So I've had the pleasure several times now to speak with Belinda Beck on this. She is pioneering in this work, because the RCTs are there. These individuals, osteoporotic, osteopenic, they were lifting, progressively got up to 80, 85%, one rep max on deadlifts, squats, military press, you know, kind of jump landing, no adverse events. Reduction in consequence of falls, reduction in falls, improvement in bone mineral density, and hey, there's improvement in strength as well. So, you know, and these are in the populations that, inverted commas, even more frail, right? So, you know, I agree with what you're saying there, and I think that gives some reassurance. And if you're not reassured, go and watch the YouTube videos, because it brings them to life.
Yeah.
So in terms of the OA knee, I think there's, you know, you can almost think, well, that's a step backwards, or we have less fear almost of again, using that term probably inappropriately, but fragility. And pain doesn't necessarily mean damage, which is good. So let's work around symptoms and modulate exercise. And indeed, that's, you know, to work up to a 5 rep max is what I would be aiming to achieve with those individuals, whether it be limited range or whether it be a different type of modality, dynamic or isometric contractions, because if we get somewhere near that, we know that that's going to be better than an arbitrary 10 repetitions. And I've often been kind of criticizing 3 sets of 10. 3 sets of 10 is absolutely fine, but what are you doing it for? And are you going 10 to failure, or have you got, you're going to 10 and then you stop because you're told to stop and you've got another 100 that you can do, which is, it's not going to bring about adaptation. So if you're looking to bring about adaptation, and you're looking to bring about increase, you know, optimizing that neural drive, optimizing the fast twitch motor unit recruitment, which is the one that's going to give us a better strength, and you know, if we go for hypertrophic change, that too. Synchrony of firing and that all that neural adaptation that occurs principally first, then those higher intensity contractions require that you have to recruit pretty much everything that you've got, versus something that's, you know, of a lower intensity, it's towards the end of that set that you then start to bring in those faster twitch motor units, because you're starting to fatigue, you need to draw from the rest of the capacity of the musculature. So it's shorter, it's sharper, and it gets people to, yeah, from you know, those higher intensity efforts, recruit more substantially from those tools that are often inhibited, that are often deconditioned first. So yeah, that's where we aim to get people. If we get somewhere near that, then, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah, brilliant. We mentioned joint approach already, and you know, something I've been following with interest is fits all of my bias, and you've like, and it's one of those things, you know, I don't know if you've had this, you may well have done, it's one of those things where you look on and you go, I wish that was my idea, like that's kind of what I've wanted to do forever, and someone's gone and actually done it, and now I'm annoyed, like, because it's that good. Tell us a bit about joint approach, and you know, where we can find it and what it's for.
Sure. Okay, so joint approach is an online program for individuals who've got knee osteoarthritis, and we're working into hip in the future, to be able to manage that joint pain themselves. And it's not just me, I'm working with a team of amazing people. So we have Mike Brownlow, who's a physiotherapist, clinician background, Serena Simmons, who's a psychologist, and we've put together a multidisciplinary program that is accessible and doable online. So this answers that question, what happens if I can't go to a gym, or I've got no interest in going to a gym, or my patients will not set foot in a gym? It's home-based, and we acknowledge that it has to be home-based. So that's, we've worked with NHS Wales just doing a pilot service evaluation, which has shown tremendous improvements across all outcomes, and indeed has reduced length of stay post-operatively by 2 days, actually.
Yeah, wonderful.
Just in this 12-week program. Mm. So you can, jointapproach.co.uk is the website, and we are looking to collaborate more with NHS providers, and in the new year we're launching the private practitioner model as well. Yeah. So what we're hearing, without actually having promoted this widely to practitioners yet, is that we want this for our patients. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to give things to our patients that they can do in their own time, and benefit from the expertise of the psychological intervention. That has to, I'd like to say it's all down to my exercise prescriptions, but If people don't do it, then we might as well just chuck that in the bin. So a person is a whole and complete being with their own unique set of barriers, motivations, fears, goals, and that whole program, progressive program of the psychological component, which we call mindset, helps take people through that journey. And then we also run live classes as well. So people... I personally like to exercise on my own, but some people really like classes, and that's become quite apparent, and that's really important for a subset of patients.
Brilliant.
So that's we're really keen to keep going with that, and
it's great. It's really good. I mean, what I've liked about looking on at it is one of the first things I've really seen with the inclusion of the psychological component, it's really starting to take osteoarthritis away from this mechanical, dare I say, wear and tear model, into a person-centered, this is something that's happening to you as an entire individual. It's not just the joint, you know, it's surrounding areas of the joint. You've mentioned muscle strength already, it's general health as well, systemic inflammation, those kind of things. We know it's got a link with cardiovascular disease, and the exercise components will obviously help that as well. And I really think, like, that broad approach, it's the first one I've seen, even if you look at some of the other OA programs I've seen before, which have included some educational components, I've not seen them go away from the joint like yours is starting to, and I'm really excited about that, and I think it's really good. And like I say, I bloody wish that was my idea.
That's so nice of you to say, and kind of humbled to hear that. And you're absolutely right in that the person is a whole and complete being and has a knee that's sore, and that's our approach. Mm. So the psychological component is super important. And where this fits in their life Serena came up with a fantastic phrase in one of the videos, and she tells people to find your rehab cheerleaders. Like that, you know, some people want people to do really well, some people want them to stay as they are. And just offering these different snippets of things that resonate with people, where to, how to keep progressing, what things might be holding them back, how to tackle those barriers. And in addition to that, all the research that we've done with the pilot service evaluation with NHS Wales. So we did a robust evaluation and a qualitative stream of evaluation as well, with interviews and focus groups, is that patients actually want more education about what's going on, and they don't want to be patronised. So a lot, we started out understanding that, fortunately, because, you know, thinking about yourself as a patient, do you want to see yourself represented as a stick figure and a jolly, no, I don't actually, thanks very much. Just give me the facts and give me the information, and don't cartoonise things for us. So what we've done on the basis of hearing this and hearing more of this is we've recorded a brand new set of assets, which is more focused on what OA is. Mm. It's not just your knee hasn't been kind of worn and torn away. It's to do with systemic inflammation, it's to do with this, but also that, you know, you as a person and how you're feeling might influence how much pain you're in, and providing a whole suite of education that goes along with the program should people want to find out more, which is up to date in terms of research evidence base, and it's not patronizing, but it's also engaging as well, so we're not using the jargon that might confuse, but hopefully providing people with more knowledge of what's going on.
Brilliant. I could talk to you about this all day, but I know you've got other stuff to do, and we've probably got some other podcasts to record, so we should give up the microphones. But just a final thing, just point people towards yourself as well. Obviously, you're on Twitter and that kind
of
thing.
Sure, yeah. So I'm at Claire, _ Minshall on Twitter. And obviously I run Get Back to Sports, which is across all social media platforms, but for Joint Approach, that's jointapproach.co.uk, and we're also J Approach on Twitter too, so you can reach out, and if you want to find out more, come and talk to us, because we're really keen to talk to people.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, Claire. It was really enjoyable. I could talk to you about osteoarthritis all day, and brilliant. Same. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.